Welcome to the Wow Marriage Podcast. In our marriage, we had a blast in the whoa, this is awesome phase, struggled and endured through the what was I thinking phase, and fought hard to get to the wow marriage we have today. It's our goal to share with you some practical tools, biblical principles, and help you reach the wow marriage and stay there. So buckle up, get ready. It's going to be a great ride. Now let's get going.
Hello, everyone. Thank you again for tuning in. This is your program, The Wow Marriage, where we give you biblical principles and life experience so your marriage can be fulfilled and be wild.
Wild or wow?
Wow. I'm sorry. Wow. Wild too. It can be wild too. That's fine.
Okay. Hey, guys, check it out. We're coming to you in the comfort of our own home. I mean, we're not going to take you to the bedroom, but you know, this is where we are.
We're not going to take you where all the fun begins. Just kidding.
But hey, you got me distracted. Okay. All right. Okay. Get back to it. All right. Hey, we're going to talk about today about making the decision before you make the decision. Well, hey, no, that doesn't make sense. What does that mean?
Make up your mind. Hallelujah.
Exactly. Make up your mind as to what you're going to do. So what we're talking about here, the reference scripture we're going to have is Daniel 1:8.
Oh, so love it.
Making decision before you have to make the decision is purpose in your heart, in your mind, and in your life that there are certain things that you won't do, mm-hmm. certain lines that you won't cross.
That's right.
And certain areas where
Hallelujah.
You will not grow. Yeah, because I crossed the line many times when I got between you and your dad. Because I'm like, hey, I'm marrying this woman.
No.
Okay. All right. So purpose in your heart.
Yeah.
What you're going to do. Okay. I give an example, then I'm let my Maria get into it. We got married very young. We only knew each other for 6 months. Less than 6 months, right.
Yeah.
She was 18 and I was 21 when we got married. But while we were dating, we only knew each other, you know, for a short amount of time. But during that whole time, you know, I was trying to get some. Okay.
By the way, by then, you were not serving God. So
yes,
let's make it clear. God.
So even without Christ, she made the decision before she made the decision that she was not going to sleep with me nor anyone else before she got married. So that's the power of your confession. That's the power of your decision making. Okay. Mm-hmm. So she didn't. She held firm to her decision making. So she made that decision that she would not have sex before marriage, before she got presented with this question or the situation of having sex before
even had a boyfriend, I made that decision. Now, mind you, I was a devoted Catholic. I did love God. I had a prayer life and I really love him. And I was like, I want to please him. This is one thing I will make the decision that I will not defile myself. I not even have a boyfriend. I was 14, 13 when I made this decision before I was put it. And then what happened when you make the decisions, baby, and you like, stubborn about it, your feeling and your devotion and everything within you line up with the decision that you have made. You made up your mind. And then your feelings and everything else will line up. And I have plenty of opportunity to break those.
Yes, she did.
Because
I was putting pressure on her.
Yes.
And men, women, you know, this is premarital, but I'm telling you, it applies to your marriage and your situation
today,
to where
you're
at, what you're doing today. So, you know, it's just not going there.
Of course,
you know, we always talk about don't even have divorce as an option.
That's making the decision.
Because when you put divorce on the table, you've already made it an option.
Mm-hmm.
So with saying that we're never going to put on the table, it's never going to be open for discussion, that's making a decision. So no matter how difficult or how hard your arguments or your disagreements become, that word will never come up. It will never be an option. So the scripture we want to talk about here is in Daniel 1:8. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to dive into it, and we're going to talk about some references, some more things that we've gone through in our life where we had to make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we made the decision before we had to make the decision. So we're talking about Daniel's resolve. And it says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile, taint, dishonor himself with the king's finest food.
Mm-hmm.
With the finest food, the best that was out there.
Even if the temptation was there.
Uh-huh. He made the decision that he wasn't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the king's finest food with the wine, which the king drank, So he asked the commander of the officials that he might be excused so that he would not defile himself. So I'm gonna jump to the end of this, and then we're going to go back. He asked the commander that he would be excused so he would not defile himself. So many times when we get into confrontations or disagreements with our spouse, we don't ask to be excused.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep diving in, knowing we're getting deeper and deeper into, you know, the disagreement, into where, you know, feelings and emotions come into play. And then you start to hurt and talk bad against each other. But there's a point in time where you don't want to defile yourself, and you must be excused from the situation so that you will not defile yourself. So, you know, that's like, hey, before you call your wife out of her name, before you do something or say something that you regret, excuse yourself from the situation. And then wives or husbands, however it may go, you have to honor and respect enough that you will let them be excused. But this excuse, we're talking about spiritually and figuratively and naturally, but that excusing does not mean I'm mad at you, so I'm going to leave the house.
Gotcha.
You know? And I'm going to go out here and do something different. Because, man, let me tell you something. When we get mad at our wives, and we are so angered and frustrated that we leave the house, our mind starts going crazy. And then you get out there and you become faced with that woman running around dressed like a harlot and cunning of heart, that's going to persuade you to do something that you didn't want to do. And your emotions and your feelings are all tied up in your frustration. And then you give into that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sexual deviancy or whatever you may have. And then you're in trouble.
And then, yeah, exactly. One of the things that I also made the decision before you have to is settle in your heart that you're not going to go back to the past.
Yeah.
Settle in your heart that you're not going to make the same mistakes you made in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Make that decision. Say, no matter how frustrated I get, no matter how mad I get, I will not make this mistake again. So in my case, for example, mm-hmm. It was my sister. They decided to have children without being married and do things for only married couples, you know, having sex and all that stuff. So the past mistake, I say, I refuse to live that lifestyle. Or my mistake, I will never again, like one of the decisions I make, I will never put myself again in a position where my testimony can be tainted.
Yeah.
For example, I made the decision I will never try by myself with another guy. You know, I mean, I had done it like kids of same age of my children, you know, but never like same age. I will not put myself in that position. I will not make the same mistake that I make.
Before you had to make
the
decision.
Yeah, the answer is already no.
Purpose in your heart, mm-hmm. what you were going to do and what you were not going to do.
Exactly. Another thing, I will not probably, this is not our case, but not drag the stuff from my past failure of relationship to this new relationship. I will refuse, mm-hmm. you know, to bring those old baggage to this new, because God make everything new. And we need to tear down those old pattern of thinking mm-hmm. the way that I used to think before I was with Christ. So how do we make the decision of having victory every time in our marriage is by not allowing the world system, the pattern of thinking into our relationship.
Right. And, you know, I'll give you an example. It's about the box. Okay. You have things in your box when you got married, you know, it's called your covenant box. And the decision that I made when we got married is, you know, you make your vows and you say you're going to give your spouse the world and you're going to do everything for them and make them the happiest person on earth because they made you the happiest person on earth. So there was a situation. Yes, you do. So there was a situation several years ago that, you know, we're talking about the covenant box, and I'll probably do a podcast specifically on the covenant box to give you more of an understanding on it. So there are things that we go through in our marriage that is not sin. It's not sin, but if it's outside of that covenant box, it's mm-hmm. an issue, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it could be an issue that could lead to sin or that could cause, you know, friction or grief in your home. The example was, of course, let me go back. When I told my wife, I love you, I honor you, I respect you, I'll do things for you, you know, I'll make you the happiest woman on earth. And of course, you know, we failed at some of those things.
Yes,
but
we
as we endeavor to try to do more, we always want to keep that in the forefront of our mind. So about 7 or 8 years ago, I was on Facebook, and someone that I went to high school with made a post on Facebook about something they were going through, and then about their son. It was a woman, about their son graduating high school. So I reached out and said, hey, so-and-so, congratulations on your son graduating high school. You know, it's a great honor. You know, it's a privilege to be a mom going through something like that. But then she was also sick. She said she had been through the doctor, and she would have to take some medication, stuff like that. So I said, hey, you know, I'm praying for you, you know, for your healing. And again, congratulations on your son. So we had text back and forth for maybe 2-3 weeks. And then, you know, one day my wife was going through my phone.
I wasn't going through your phone. I was using your phone.
Anyway,
I don't be checking on you
like
that.
It doesn't matter. You know what? Hey, if she checks my phone, I don't care.
That's right.
You know, because it's our stuff. We've got nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's your privacy. It's your phone. Yeah, well,
it's our privacy.
Mm-hmm. It's our phone because we're together. Got nothing to hide.
Amen.
And if you don't want to, then what are you hiding? Different story. So my Maria was going through my phone or using my phone, and she happened to come across this text or this Facebook messaging. So she said, who was this? And I said, well, it's so-and-so, a woman that I graduated high school with. And so she said, well, babe, so I don't want you talking to her anymore. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I just didn't even respond back to her. I just deleted the text, deleted the messages, never made any more contact with her. So tell me, what's the problem with that? There's no problem with that. The problem with that would have been if I had continued with this conversation, I would have been neglecting my wife's wishes and desires and the promise that I made by covenant to her when we got married. So it's not sin. It wasn't sin for me to talk to this woman. It wasn't sin for me to reach out to her and, you know, say what I wanted to say. But it was a problem because it was outside of the covenant of fellowship and agreeing with my wife. She didn't want me to do it. So tell me, why would I have this issue of reaching out to someone so many hundreds of miles away while at the same time neglecting my wife, the woman who I devoted my life to, the woman who I said I promise to be with you, to comfort you, and to take care of you the best that I can? So why am I going to forsake that for some woman, you know, miles and miles away? You know,
I don't know why.
But it happens, you know.
Because with reasoning, if you make the decision to stay pure and to serve God and to glorify God in your marriage, but then all of a sudden you start reasoning why it's okay for you to do this,
mm-hmm.
you fall right into disobedience, right into sin, and right into problems in your marriage.
Right.
So one of the things that we have practiced is think about what you're thinking. A lot of time it's like, just like you say, if you put divorce at the table, you shouldn't even allow yourself to even think, wait a minute, no. Take those thoughts captive. I don't even want, they were your life. And taking your thought pure, because at the end of the day, it's beneficial. Many times we don't want to do that, Chris, is because we are afraid. If I give this man or this woman my all, some way, somehow, I lose myself and I end up by myself anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But remember, as a Christian, whatever we do, you have to activate your faith.
Right.
Knowing that I'm going to give my all because I first gave my all to God. And no mm-hmm. matter what happened here, I know he got me.
Right. And you mentioned fear. And actually, fear is one of our notes here. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Mm-hmm.
But of power, love, might, sound mind, you know, good decision making.
Amen.
Everything good is what God gave us. And it was not a spirit of fear. So when we do things based on fear, we're outside the word of God.
And
you
we
know,
are
we're outside of the covenant.
Exactly.
You know, and which we have made with God. I said this in previous podcasts, and I say this, you know, in a lot of our marriage discipleship, that if each spouse endeavors to work out the vertical, you have your own intimate individual relationship with God. He will work out the horizontal.
And even if it's one person at a time, because I know there are times when one of the persons in the marriage is not as strong in the spiritual walk.
Yeah.
And there have to be a sound decision of, it's okay if I be the better person. Because many times we're like, well, I tried last time. That That's first of all childish. Mm-hmm. And second of all, don't you want the best? If you win, I win. If I win, you we mm-hmm. together in this. So that's gonna take renewing your mind and don't think like the world do.
Right.
The point that Daniel was making, that he was not gonna defile himself with the things of the world, the way the Nebuchadnezzar kingdom was doing things. He was gonna be continue with his faith, mm-hmm. continue to exalt God, even though he was in a, we can say, in a worldly
yes.
bad mm-hmm. place where he was at.
Yeah,
so and yeah. that caused him to be in favor with God.
Right. Because see, when we're out there and we're doing things, you know, we're on the job, we're at the workplace, we're in the supermarket or wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, you know, and then even in life, we're in the world.
We are.
But we don't, just because we're in the world, we don't have to succumb to worldly issues and faults and fault finding and accusations and things like that. You know, we have to purposely say that I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to taint myself. I'm not going to be misled by things of the world. So, you know, I'm going to excuse myself from the situation. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't go places. I don't go to clubs. I don't go to bars. You know, I don't do things that are outside of the character of how I feel I should be as the one woman man. You know, I'm sorry, the one man. I mean, the one person for my wife. I am her man. She is my woman. Mm-hmm. And that's what I endeavor to do. That's my actions. That's my thoughts. That's my foundation of what I give to her. I give her everything. You know, my desire is to have her be my only Amen. Person. And to her beauty is only found in me. Okay. I only want to see her as the most beautiful person on this earth because she is. She is my wife, you know, mm-hmm. and I honor her and I respect her. And I'm not even going to go there with any other situation,
exactly.
you know, as far as, you know, giving in to, you know, hey, man, that woman looks good. And, you know, and
don't even have an opinion about it.
Don't even have an opinion about it. You know, and I never told you this, so I'm putting you out on blast. I forget where we were at, but we were somewhere. And I saw this woman, and she was looked like a man. She was built. And I was like, man, look at that. No, why am I even looking? No. And so she was walking, and I'm purposely looking away just so as to not to cause my eyes to go somewhere that it had no business going. But I'm like, man, so that chick was swole. But I'm like, why would I even want to look at that? So I'm like, nope, I'm not going there. I excuse my eyes and my mentality from that situation.
We have to be so careful because the enemy of darkness.
Yeah.
He's looking for a crack to sneak in. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it sounds like, oh, you guys are religious. You're taking it to the... I'm telling you, it's not going to get any better in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make the decision that you're going to fight the battle according to what the scriptures say. You have to make the decision that you're going to honor God in your marriage. You have to make the decision you're going to do it according to what the word of God tells us instead of psychology of men mm-hmm. and your own reasoning, thinking or past experience.
Yeah.
You have to seek God for yourself and you have to seek the solution, you and the Holy Spirit, apply it, move on. Mm-hmm. And no matter what anybody else says, as long as it's back out with that word of God, you do what is right. And I promise you, you always will have the victory.
Yeah, we will. I mean, there was a point, I think we said on one of our previous podcasts early on, may have been a year or two ago, but we went to civilian secular counseling, you know, one time, and they even advised us. The counselor said, hey, you know what?
Well, everybody was against it.
You guys just,
crazy.
May as well just get a divorce because there's no help for you. And that was, you know, before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a long, long time ago. But you see where we are here today because God always knew where we were. He always knew what we had. But it took us making the decision to want to get fixed in our marriage.
Yep.
Because the things we were doing, we saw that they weren't right. We noticed, but we saw people in our church, you know, who had good marriages. And we wanted to talk to them. We wanted to aspire to be like them. So we just did what they said. We opened up the Bible and we read the Bible and we started humbling ourselves, you know, one to another. And, you know, I started to treat my wife, you know, as a co-heir, you know, with Christ and all the gifts and the life that we have. Mm-hmm. And yet I treated her as a weaker vessel because she is a woman, which means that I am to watch over her. I am to protect her. And that's what I did. And then my prayers were no longer hindered. And she submitted herself, you know, to me. Even when I was still sometimes acting a fool, she would say, Lord, I thank you for the man of God that you've given me. So our confession brought us to where we are today. We prayed, we submitted, we humbled ourselves, and we made a positive declaration of our confession, of our love and devotion for one another as we submitted to God.
And honey, what are some of the decisions that we make before we have to make the decision? Let's give us some examples that we already done. One of the things we made a decision, remember, said we will never leave the church if we offended.
Yeah. Never leave your church if you're offended. Because that's a big open door for the enemy to get a hold of you.
Exactly. We said we made that decision that I don't care how bad it gets. Mm-hmm. As long as we offended, we staying right there. And if the offense and the feelings are totally gone and we feel led by the Spirit of God to mm-hmm. leave, then we take off and go. It's been 18 years serving the same house because we have loyalty in us.
Yeah. And we have. And what does that have to do with marriage? Like she just said, loyalty and making a decision, you know, on what you're going to do. Because, you know, we have to serve. We have to submit. We have to be led. You need a church. You need a pastor. You have to be obedient to the word of God. And all those things, when we grabbed a hold of that and we brought it into our marriage covenant, it gave us life. It gave us insight. It gave us a spiritual awareness that God is always with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us?
So some of the things that when marriages go to trouble, they should first check the basic. Why are we having trouble? Because the Bible said, if we submit to God, the devil has to flee, right?
Right. Draw near.
Draw near. So therefore, that's one of the things as a couple, where are we missing it? Mm-hmm. Let's start by the basic. Are we giving to church? Are we serving together? Are we skipping church? Are we? And if all those are based, then go deeper, trying to discern why we having this attack, why we constantly argue, mm-hmm. where is the door open? Are we now go deeper? Are you half full of pride? Do you think you're always right? Are you not open mm-hmm. to at least meet each other half away, 50-50?
Yeah.
You know, and they. But I always go to the basic because many, we have experience with other couple like, yes, we have a marriage problem. And I'm like, when was the last time you went to church? Well, we cannot go to church anymore because we work as, let's start with the basic. Let's fix the basic. Yep. And then make the decision. Never quit going to church. Never stop serving. Never stop tithing. Never stop giving yourself into the promises of God.
And never renege on your commitment to live a holy life, to be submitted one to another. And I tell you, you know, it's like I said before, if we each work out our own salvation with fear and trembling as unto the Lord, if each of us, you know, men and women, you know, we have our own intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, individually and collectively, he will work it out. So Amen. We work out the vertical. He works out the horizontal. So any issues, any problems you may have, God is a solution. But your solution is based on your covenant, based on your response, based on your confession and your commitment to serve one another in Christ. And when you do, well, I tell you what, you can definitely experience the wow. So until next time, hey, we really appreciate you joining with us. We love you. We call you blessed. And we look forward to seeing you at our marriage conference coming up here in February 9th and 10th of 24. We love you.
Take care.
Take care. God bless.
God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Wow Marriage Podcast. We pray that the experiences shared today will not only bless you, but inspire you to have your very own wow marriage. To stay connected, please be sure to subscribe to this channel and also visit our website at thewowmarriage.com to watch this podcast and others in video. We call you blessed in Jesus' name.